I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Thursday night, a full two-hour program this evening. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We take you until 8 o'clock because we don't have Cardinals baseball. A much, much, much needed night off for the Cardinals. They're going to get back at tomorrow, opening up a homestand. They take on the Philadelphia Phillies, who I think are one of the best teams in all of baseball and a legitimate World Series contender. I think most people would agree with that. If we look at the Dodgers as being the best team in the National League, I don't think there's that much of a gap going from the Dodgers to the Phillies, especially when you see who they are running out in their starting rotation from one game to the next. If you want to join the program, there is multiple ways for you to get connected with the show. If you do want to call or text into the show, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you call or text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, and we always see those numbers start to build up at a pretty rapid pace right as we get going with the program, all you got to do is leave a message in the chat, and we'll see it. So whether you're listening and watching on Facebook or on Twitter or on YouTube, just leave a comment, however it works on those various platforms, and all those comments come right into our little studio that we are broadcasting from, and you can talk to us as we go along through the course of the program. So a little bit of news, and we talked about this for sure on the Redbird Rush Hour, but what we kind of all assumed would happen did happen, that the Cardinals are going to send Chris Roycroft down to AAA Memphis, and Rodery Munoz is going to be recalled. So just a few quick things on this, and we'll get more into it. I guess I should tell you what everything that's coming up on the show. Taylor Twellman's going to join us at about 6:35. We'll talk soccer with him. I'll just tell you right now, he's traveling today. He's flying, so we had to pre-record that interview. So I've already recorded the conversation with Taylor. Very honest, very real conversation about the state of City SC soccer right now, where they are having a really hard time scoring goals. And we try to kind of dig in and figure out what is leading to that and what it might look like moving forward. So I always appreciate the candor that Taylor Twellman brings to our conversations, and I would say that was very much on display in our conversation today. So I think you'll want to hear that coming up at 6:35, whether you're a hardcore City fan or just sort of a casual observer wanting to see them do well because you're proud of everything that is St. Louis sports. That's going to be coming up at 6:35, so you'll definitely want to be tuned in for that. Something that we're going to be doing on just about an every week basis now that they are into their season, we are going to try to have a Battlehawks player on every single week. And Travis Feeney is going to join the program this week. He's going to be on at about 7:20 or so, part of that defense that's been really, really good for the Battlehawks, and a guy who has been with the team previously. So he's going to join us here in just a little while. And then we'll also talk some hockey today with Mike Zook, a former St. Louis Blue. Big weekend for him because many years ago, he scored the game-winning goal for Michigan Tech in the Frozen Four, and now he is he's a St. Louisan, former St. Louis Blue, and I need to get some water, so I'm going to take a break right now. I'm going to go get some water so I can stop coughing, and then we'll be back coming up in just a moment or so. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I kind of have my voice back after needing to end things and go get water. Here's what happened. You want to know the backstory? I every day when I come to work, I have a water bottle with me. Well, the power went out at my house today. So I was a little out of sorts. Like, I had to take a shower and get dressed and everything in the dark. Had to attempt to do my hair, which some people would say maybe I should try to do my hair in the dark more often. It might look better that way anyways. But a little out of sorts, right? I was trying to eat some lunch before I left, but I didn't want to open up the refrigerator door because I was worried if the power was out too long, then what was inside of the refrigerator was going to get warm. So there was just a lot of things going on. Had to walk through our basement to get to the garage, and that was completely dark. Then, you know, I had to like manually open up the garage because the power was out. So with all of that, I don't grab a bottle of water to bring with me to work as I do on an everyday basis. And of course, on this day, this would be the day where all of a sudden in the middle of a segment, I lose the ability to talk because I have a coughing fit. So there you go. The entire thing of us getting to where we're at right now with me being forced to take a break a little bit early to go get water, it all started when it was storming a little bit today, and we didn't have power at the Pauly household. When that storm came through, my wife and I were out. We were outside going for a walk, and we had our 10-month-old daughter in the stroller, and we didn't realize like a legit storm was going to be coming through, and it was windy. It was blowing stuff all over the place. Trash cans were getting knocked down. There's a lot of like road construction around where I live right now. They're redoing a road, and a bunch of the cones and everything were just flying all over the place. So we're like 4 or 5 minutes away still from our home, and it's starting to rain, and we've got a 10-month-old, and the wind is really blowing. We're not fully running, but we're walking very quickly. There was a guy outside that saw us. This is the kind of neighborhood that I live in, I guess, in Chesterfield. Everybody's very hospitable. Somebody sees us. It's like, hey, you want to come shelter in my garage for a little bit? I was like, nah, we're good. We're like 3 minutes from our home. But yeah, that was the day. Power going out, getting stuck out in the rain, all kinds of stuff. But all's well that ends well, and here we are hosting this show today, so all is good. Talking a little Cardinals baseball, they are back at it coming up tomorrow. They're going to match up against the Philadelphia Phillies coming up this weekend, trying to come up with a bounce back after having a very disappointing performance against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I started the conversation before I had to rudely interrupt myself in the first segment. They make the roster move that, you know, we expected some version of this roster move. We didn't know for sure what the corresponding move was going to be, but they did send Chris Roycroft down and Rodery Munoz is up. And I mentioned this on Redbird Rush Hour. I'm really high on Chris Roycroft. I think he's got the potential to be a big time impact reliever in baseball. He's not there yet. He obviously still has some development, and we saw some of those issues. He looked really good in spring, and now it's an opportunity for him to go back to Memphis and work on some things. And he's going to be back with the Cardinals before you know it, and he is certainly going to put together some good performances this year with the Cardinals. So I think that Roycroft is going to be a key member of this bullpen at some point this year again, once he kind of gets some stuff figured out. And he does need to get some stuff figured out. He's got to be more consistent in terms of throwing strikes. His velo has dipped a little bit. He's a velo guy, and it's dipped a little bit, so he's got to figure out where it went and how he's going to be able to go get that back for sure. So all that's got to happen, and Cardinals are pretty good at helping guys find those things out at AAA. The guy they're bringing up is Roderick Munoz. And, you know, he was kind of an under-the-radar signing during the offseason. And he was somebody who has been a starter through most of his career. And he's been a starter who hasn't been very good through most of his career. You look at what he did last year pitching with Miami. Had a 6.53 ERA. Made 17 starts, 82 and two-thirds innings. His walk numbers were really high. They were at 42, but they got him. He's a guy who he's got swing and miss stuff, which is something this team absolutely needs more of. And then I thought he was really good in spring. He made 6 appearances in spring this year, pitched to a 2.57 ERA, 7 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, only 2 walks. So that was a really, really good sign of what he had going during spring training. Now, I get the sense that he was never really somebody that had much of a chance of breaking camp with the team. I think with him converting over to being a reliever, at the very least, the team wanted to see him do that a little bit at AAA. And at AAA this year, pitching for Memphis, he had thrown 5 innings over 4 games, has given up just 1 run on 3 hits, so he's got a 1.80 ERA. 7 strikeouts in 5 innings, that's a really good number. 5 walks in 5 innings, that's not as good of a number. Although that's not a end-of-the-world number if you're not giving up a bunch of hits. So you can deal with a walk per inning from a relief pitcher as long as other base runners are not reaching. He is one of the guys that makes me excited about what this bullpen is going to become. And I'm excited about Riley O'Brien getting it together. And, you know, I think I pumped the brakes a little bit more on O'Brien than other people because he's been given big league opportunities, and whether it's effectiveness or health, he hasn't been able to stay on the field, and the Cardinals are not his first organization, but the O'Brien's stuff is still legit. O'Brien's stuff still plays at the major league level. So if he can put it together, that's a guy who can be a weapon for you. I think Gordon Graceffo can be a weapon for you out of the bullpen. There's other guys. You know, Tekoa Roby is a guy who I think probably gets to the big leagues at some point this year. He can be a weapon for you. So I like some of these pieces that the Cardinals have from a bullpen standpoint, and I am excited to see what Munoz can bring. And more than anything else, the Cardinals just need a fresh arm. They have grinded through this bullpen, and the point that, you know, when Kevin and I were talking last hour about going to the 6-man rotation, I think part of the reason that Kevin thinks that they're not actually going to do that is because of how much usage has already occurred within the bullpen. And if you're going to go to a 6-man rotation, you're essentially taking somebody out of the bullpen. So what has to happen there is starters have to go deeper into games. And right now, starters are not going deep into games. We had the conversation yesterday about Eric Fetty, and I'm not trying to completely and totally rehash what we talked about yesterday. That was yesterday. You can always go find the archive if you want. But for me, what was maybe a little bit more startling about where Fetty came out, it had absolutely nothing to do with him throwing a no-hitter at the time. It was just the fact that at 88 pitches, you felt like maybe he had another inning in him. And then that's one less inning that's going to be tasked to the bullpen. Or even if he comes out for the next inning and gets 1 out or gets 2 outs, it's 1 or 2 outs that won't go onto the bullpen. And the day before an off day, I guess that doesn't matter all that much. And that's not a part of it that we talked about a ton yesterday. But at the same time, it's not so much about the immediate impact. It's about the overall impact of the bullpen as the year goes along. You don't want to have a ton of guys who have made high 50s, low 60s appearances, because there's going to be some guys who just can't handle that. It's going to be that is going to be a problem. There's some guys that's not a problem. Phil Maton, you can go handle the ball time after time after time after time, and he's going to bounce back. He knows what he needs to do from a physical standpoint to always be ready. Cardinals have talked a lot. They talked a lot in spring training about the depth that they had from a pitching standpoint and being able to use that shuttle between AAA and the big leagues. And this is really the first time that they are utilizing it. I think there have been some other times already this season, and you are restricted within the first couple weeks of the year on what kind of moves you are able to make. But now those restrictions are not, they don't exist anymore. So other than a guy needing to stay at Memphis for what I think it's 10 days before being able to come back to the big leagues, unless there's an injury. Now that the restrictions are gone, I think another strength of this team is the ability to move guys up and down. Because if the bullpen is going to be used as much as it has been used, and if they are truly going to go to a six-man rotation, and you're not getting a lot of length from those starters, one of the ways to basically add to your bullpen is to be a lot more liberal in how you're bringing guys up and sending guys down. And it can't be an everyday thing again, because you've got the rules about guys have to stay down in Memphis for a while. But I would think that we are going to that we're going to see guys starting to come up and down more often now, because that is something that could be a strength of the team. But I'd be excited about Roderick Munoz, and we'll see. Again, his big league numbers aren't good. I'm not trying to like run around the fact that he did not have good big league numbers. But this is one of the guys that I think can end up being a pretty important piece in the Cardinals bullpen, and you need as much swing and miss as you possibly can have, and Munoz is one of those guys. And where you're at right now in the season, where you got to find some wins, having a fresh arm out of the bullpen probably goes a long way towards that happening. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk with St. Louis's own Taylor Twellman. I mentioned this earlier, but I'll mention it again. Taylor's traveling today, so I had to pre-record the interview, so I can really preview the interview, because I know exactly what was said between myself and Taylor. It has been a very slow start to the year for City SC. They are having a very hard time scoring goals outside of one game where they scored three against LA. They've only scored one goal outside of that. They haven't given up a lot of goals. Defensively, they have been on point, but they just simply are not scoring goals. What has led to that? We'll get Taylor Twellman's thoughts on it. I thought it was a really interesting conversation. He is very honest, a lot of candor from him. So he is going to play that interview for you coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. Taylor Twellman is with us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It is always a pleasure when we get to talk with native St. Louis and Taylor Twellman, part of the team at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. We'll talk a little City SC soccer with Taylor. Taylor, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. What's your general takeaway on what's going on with the City team right now? Because they can't score goals is the thing that is the overwhelming thing that we notice about the way this season has gone so far.
I mean, they've been shut out 5 of 7 games. It's as anemic as I've seen. Now, listen, Revolution have scored 3 goals this year. One of them an own goal, one a penalty kick, and one a free kick. So they haven't scored a goal from a run of play. And then you look at St. Louis City, and you just say, I don't get it. Now, granted, they've only given up 4. So on one hand, Olaf Melberg can say, listen, this is a team that was leaking goals last year. I fixed that, but he's not even setting up any team to go for it, right? And the reason why I say that is, listen, many of you that are watching, the last home game that they played against Austin, he played 5 defenders, 3 defensive midfielders. So there's not even a potential of this team scoring 3, 4, 5 goals a game, let alone 1 or 2. So, listen, are the players not efficient in the final third? Yes. I think some fans would probably listen to me say that and say, hang on a minute, they've missed some real quality chances, but all the analytics will tell you they're not creating a ton, and they're not really even going for it. So I think it's a fair criticism. They've been shut out 5 of 7 games, and quite honestly, I think they're going to be up against it this weekend and over the next 4 or 5 games. It's not an easy schedule for them.
Do you think it's a case of this is kind of who they are, or is it a case of Olaf Melberg's system and the things that he wants to do continuing to be put into place?
I'd argue those are the same. And that's a great way. I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of fans have hit me up on social media saying, well, is this Olaf Melberg's style of play, or is this the players that they have? I would say this. Listen, the last, 8-9 games last year, they were on a points-per-game pace that would have got them in the playoffs. So John Hackworth had tapped into Hartle and Toyshard and some of those players to score goals, Simon Betcher and others. Sure. But on the other hand, you look at other teams in the league, they're spending real money on attacking players. There's real pace. There's verticality. There's nobody on St. Louis City scares the opposition of running in behind, of playing at a game at a high pace. I'm just telling you what the other coaches tell you. So I think Olaf Melberg is very pragmatic. He's being very, very cautious with his approach. But I don't know if Wilfer Nancy took him over, who I think is probably the best coach in the league. I don't know if they're scoring 65 goals in a calendar year. I don't know if those players are there.
I can remember my first ever conversation with you after after you went over to Apple, and we were talking about the City system and Lutz Pfannenstiel, and obviously there's been different coaches, but the base of what they're doing has remained the same, and I remember you being skeptical about what they were doing from year number one with Bradley Carnell, even when they were having success. Do you still have the same type of issues right now as you did going back 3 years ago?
Yeah, but my confusion and question for St. Louis City as a whole is Bradley Carnell and Olaf Melberg are black and white. It's apples to oranges. So Bradley Carnell had his success, and listen, he was successful for the first 65% of the season. But I warned everyone, Sporting Kansas City coming in, that's the style of play that can really hurt him, and here we are, they did. What I'm saying is, though, is, okay, if you have a difference with Bradley Carnell, the philosophy and style of play, that comes from Lutz Pfannenstiel and the technical staff and all that. Olaf Melberg is absolutely 100%, 180 degrees different than Bradley Carnell. That immediately gets my attention and say, hang on a minute, has the philosophy changed? And that's where this gets very interesting to me. Because when Lutz took over and St. Louis City came into the league, it was high press. Play as vertical as you can, play as quickly as you can. They start 5-0. Yes, some of the goals were gifts for the opposition, but there is a real propensity and energy to go forward. It's the exact opposite now. And so that is, I think, a fair criticism and question of the fan base, of the paying customer, to say, well, what is this? And can it change? Do I think Olaf Melberg can change? Absolutely. Do I think he will? I think he's going to have to. Now, I think this weekend becomes interesting, because I'm not sure I would do it against Columbus when Columbus kind of plays into your style of sitting in, defending, and looking for the counter. But go back to my point. If you're going to sit in, counter, and play in transition, not a single one of your players thrives in those. So these are real questions. These are questions I have. I think a lot of people have. And quite honestly, this is the conversation when you bring up St. Louis City to other technical directors and other coaches and other owners in the league. Because very quickly you went from Bradley Carnell to Olaf Melberg. And I couldn't be more blunt. It is black and white on how different they approach the games.
We were talking with Taylor Twellman. The Klaus thing, where he hasn't scored in forever. Now he's coming off the bench. Is this who he is now, or is this still a case of trying to unlock him and get him back to who he was supposed to be when he was originally with this team?
No, this is who he is. And listen, a lot of fans were really upset with my critical analysis of him from the beginning. But this is who he is. Listen, I've always been a believer. Numbers don't lie. People do. And when you look at goal scorers, center forwards, ones that score goals for a living, I was that person, I can't hide away from my numbers. They are what they are. Now, do I think the position of the nine has changed where you can look at other different things to do and contribute? Absolutely. But that means you've got to have three, four players around you that are scoring goals consistently that complement what you're doing. Klaus is doing neither. And what I find very intriguing is when the conversation on social media with real educated fans, which is majority of what St. Louis City fans are, they're not using their eyes. Because they'll tell me, well, look at what Klaus is doing, look at this, look at that. The reality is you can't have a number nine that hasn't scored a goal in how many games?
Long time.
So, I mean, we're talking about a player that has only scored in 16 games or contribute. Now, granted, every time he contributes in a game on a goal, they're unbeaten, and that was coming into this year. That might have changed this year, but again, I don't think he hasn't scored. So the point being is that that's got to change, and that has to. And the reality is the thing I said from the beginning, and it stays the same, and I'm interested to see what happens this summer. You cannot win in Major League Soccer when your designated players, usually three, now you can go two if you go young, but again, Olof Melberg hasn't played a single player under the age of 24. So the young player from St. Louis City is not even playing. You have to hit your DPs, and they have to be home runs. And if you don't do it, then you're up against it trying to just make the playoffs, and that's where St. Louis City is in the moment.
Do you think the organization's feeling pressure just in the sense that they made the coaching change, they made all those moves in the transfer window, they moved on from some faces of the organization-type guys and Vasilev and Nerwinski, and now they're in this spot. There were some big statements that were made by ownership leading to the season. Like, all that added together, and I know it's still early on the season, but do you get the sense that it's an organization that's feeling pressure right now?
I hope they are. I mean, listen, 7 games in, sure, there's, 27 games left? So a lot can happen. And you don't want to be too much of a prisoner of the moment. But the problem is that the ownership loves the city of St. Louis as much as I do. And part of the reason why I love St. Louis is everyone's educated in sports. And they're very educated in this sport. The problem is you open yourself up to pressure early when it is changing consistently in very drastic changes. And that's why I bring up the point of Melberg and Bradley Carnot, that when you do something that drastic and that different stylistically, philosophically, all of that, well, guess what happens? Now now the paying customer is going to say, whoa, what is this? What does this look like? Now, you could call me in 2 months and they could win 9-10 games in a row. Do I think they do that? No, I don't, because I look at the rest of the league and I see where, I mean, the fact that Atlanta United spent, $50 million on two attacking players? We're talking about a completely different kettle of fish. So I do think the pressure is on it. I think the players are feeling it. And that's where this gets interesting, because the city of St. Louis understands this sport arguably better than anyone in the league and anyone in the country. And they've got to be asking the question, whoa, what is this? Because when you're playing five defenders, three defensive midfielders at home, that's going to open yourself up to real questions if you're not winning. It's one thing to win and be boring. It's another thing to lose and be boring, and I think that's where St. Louis City is in the moment.
Final thing for Taylor Twellman. You mentioned earlier that there are some aspects of what City does that might be good against Columbus. What would it take? Is Sunday Night Soccer coming up this weekend? And great thing for people who are Apple TV subscribers. This is one of those matches that comes along with that subscription in addition to MLS Season Pass. But what is the key for City to maybe take a big step forward this weekend?
Their commitment to their defensive shape, Olof Melberg has hit a home run. He's been brilliant with that. Henry Kessler, that was a controversial move for the fans, moving on from Tim Parker. That was 100% the right move. Henry Kessler in the conversation for Defender of the Year, 7 games into the season. So their commitment to their defensive shape works. The problem is when you go up against the Columbus, if you are not a threat going the other way, they'll kill you. Because then they gamble and they throw numbers forward. if St. Louis City is at all the St. Louis City that I saw against the Galaxy on the road and efficient on the counter and having the ability to be a threat, they've got a shot. They've got a shot of winning and taking 3 points. If they don't and they go in and say, you can have the ball, you can use the shape, you can move us around how you want to, St. Louis City fans are going to be in for a long Sunday night.
Tell our listeners about Apple TV and MLS Season Pass and the amazing product that you guys put out on pretty much an everyday basis.
I mean, every game you see in MLS is seen on Apple TV. You go to Apple TV, the app on any of your devices, click Find MLS Season Pass, you go on there. But more importantly, this year we started a Sunday Night Soccer entity, which is the first time where the entire platform is committed to one MLS game. And I think it's going to be extremely exciting when people see the numbers and also see on a global scale what St. Louis can do and their support in Energizer Park on Sunday night.
Taylor, we always appreciate your time. Have a great call this weekend. I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Taylor Twellman joining us here on the program. Very honest conversation about where City SC is right now. Obviously, still incredibly early under the tenure of a brand new coach. So the system's still being put in and nothing has been decided yet. But where things are right now, it has not been a good start to the season. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We start to wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two, we've got a lot coming up. We're going to talk with a Battlehawks player. Travis Feeney is going to join us at about 7:20 or so. Also, we are going to talk with former St. Louis Blue, Mike Zook. He's going to be with us, talk a little bit about the Frozen Four and what it means to him, because he is somebody who has a great experience with a game-winning goal to win a hockey championship, college hockey championship. So we'll talk with him coming up at about 7:35 or so. Of course, we'll continue to talk some Cardinals baseball. Wanted to mention this. I'm not concerned about the Blues, because you could see it coming. Anytime you go on that kind of winning streak, you lose that first game. There's a very good chance that you're going to kind of exhale. They're still in perfectly good shape. I still think they're going to be a playoff team. They're still trying to avoid that final playoff spot where you have to face off against the top team in the first round. So I'm not overly worried about that. But I will say this. Yesterday felt different when it wasn't the Blues making the big play at the end of the game, because Edmonton was able to, with not very much time left on the clock, I mean, the Blues were just, seconds away from securing at least a point, which goes a long way towards them locking in a playoff spot. They were 21 seconds away from that happening when Connor Brown breaks a 3-3 tie and scores last night. And that, it felt different. Does it have any wide-ranging implications? Probably not. I don't think so. But it felt different, because as the Blues went on their long winning streak, what did we see? We saw them doing that. In close games at the end, if it was a tie game, they would find the game winner. If they were down by a goal, they would find that equalizer to force overtime. That was the things that they were doing. And it felt weird, because over that winning streak, and I've talked about this a lot, over that winning streak, at least for me, I can't speak for everybody else. At least for me, I started to almost expect them to do something great. And expecting greatness isn't fair. Never has been fair, never will be fair, but they kept doing these amazing things, and it very quickly got to a point where you just kind of expected them to do it again. And it felt different last night when it did not happen. Now, again, one night, I think they're fine. Yeah, they've lost a couple in a row. Play well these next two games, get into the playoffs, try to find a little bit of momentum, try to find a way to maybe not be in that final wild card spot. We'll see what's going to end up happening when all said and done, as they and Minnesota kind of jockey for that spot. But it felt a little different. Sidebar, and I'll be the first one to admit this to you. I have not watched a lot of Edmonton Oilers hockey, but I saw, man, the two plays, especially in the first period, where, you know, Corey Perry tried to snap Jordan Binnington's neck or slice his neck open when his skate went right into his neck there. And that's when Binnington, you know, reacted to him and shoved him and punched him and everything. And then the Blues, just a few seconds later, end up scoring a shorthanded goal, which was an awesome moment. I felt so good for the team in that spot. But that is a dangerous play. That Jim Montgomery said it in his in-game interview last night, that, you know, as much respect as he might have for Corey Perry, for everything he's done in his career, that was not a hockey play. And that is something that cannot be in the game. That was dangerous. That was really dangerous. So good on, you know that Binnington already is a fiery guy. Good on Binnington for having the reaction he had. But then also Edmonton, when they opened up the door on the bench where Braden Schenn was coming in there and he kind of got, you know, sandwiched in there in a dangerous type. That's also not a hockey play. And for those of you who didn't see it, you know, Schenn's coming over there. He's in contact with somebody and then they open up the door. So basically his leg and kind of his body gets stuck into the crease of where the door opens up. That's, man, again, not that anybody in Edmonton is worried about what some radio guy in St. Louis thinks about him, but watching those two plays play out that way, I don't think much of the Edmonton Oilers after watching that. That's for sure. That wasn't hockey. That was no good, and that is a bad reflection on their organization for sure. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home; you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Back at it as we are into hour number two of the program here in hour number two. We've got a few things to get to. We are going to talk with a St. Louis Battlehawk. We're going to be doing this on an every week basis now. Generally, it's going to be on Thursdays, but not always on Thursdays, depending on the Cardinal schedule and some other things going on. But we're going to try to talk with a Battlehawk each and every week as Travis Feeney is going to join us coming up in just a few moments. About 15 minutes or so is when he is scheduled to call in. And then also coming up this hour, we're going to talk with Mike Zook, a former St. Louis Blue, guy who scored the game-winning goal in a college hockey championship game that was played here in St. Louis about 50 years ago. So we're going to talk with him about the Frozen Four, which is going on as we speak over at the Enterprise Center. I'll tell you, I love days like this because you roll into downtown and like the hustle and bustle that exists is just, it feels a little different than most days. And I think, you know, it feels that way obviously with Blues games and Cardinals games, but there's something a little more today with the Frozen Four in town. The first game of the day, it's a good one. Denver and Western Michigan are matched up against each other. That game is currently in overtime, and they are all tied up at two goals apiece. Once that game wraps up, Penn State and Boston University are going to play against each other. Penn State playing in a Frozen Four for the first time ever. Those two teams matching up against each other for a first time ever as well. We've talked a lot about it today. Roderick Munoz is joining the Cardinals here as he takes the spot of Chris Roycroft. It's being reported that Munoz is getting the call from AAA Memphis. He'll be on the roster tomorrow when the Cardinals open up their weekend series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'm excited to see what Munoz can do for this team. I liked what I saw in spring training from him. He was impressive. And as we are into a strike zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, talk about Munoz and what he could mean for this team moving forward and being part of the future. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. I think he's just one of these arms to be excited about for the bullpen moving forward, and I think these guys are going to come around. And Chris Roycroft is absolutely still in that discussion. I'm bullish on what Roycroft's going to become. I like what Gordon Graceffo could potentially be, Riley O'Brien, the same guys I mentioned last hour, Tekoa Roby, that sort of thing. But I do think there is a bigger conversation to be had right now. And maybe I'm jumping the gun on this conversation because if the Cardinals can start winning some games and if they can, which I think they're going to do, I'm still a believer in this team that they can be better than what outside expectations would say they're going to be. Now, honestly, if we're being very blunt about it, the way they have played for the last week or so, the series against Boston and the series against Pittsburgh, that's kind of what the outside expectations thought that this team was going to be. That was the expectation of the team. And that's kind of the bummer in this whole thing, that I think they can be better than that, but anytime they're not better than that, there's going to be people that say, see, told you so, thought that that's what they're going to look like. And I can remind you as much as I want to that they're 12 games into the season. But like I've said a million times now, they're also in a year where it feels like they have to get off to a good start. So what are the next steps on this whole thing for this team moving forward? Where do they go if things don't go where they want them to go, both from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint? And we discussed this a little bit on Redbird Rush Hour today, but I kind of feel like in many ways the next, I don't know if it's an inflection point, the next major decision, I guess, to be made could potentially come around Miles Michaelis, because so much was made of his offseason where he had to find a way to be better. He had to find a way to be better. He had the second worst ERA of any qualifying pitcher over the last 2 years. That's not going to play. And he's going into the final year of a contract where now, if you move on from him, the money that you're eating, while it's still a fair amount of money because he's a highly paid player, if you move on from him this year, you're moving on. You're not paying him next year and the year beyond and the year beyond. It just feels different when you move on from a guy who's in the final year of his contract. And I'm a little bit more liberal in the, I guess, the leash that I would give Michaelis than a lot of people are. Certainly more than Kevin Wheeler would. We have this discussion all the time. And I understood what the Cardinals were doing. I completely understood what the Cardinals were doing when Michaelis was in the rotation and, you know, Matz is essentially in the rotation. He's just getting in the rotation a few weeks late because he's going to join when they go to a six-man rotation. And Michael McGreevy is down at AAA Memphis. I understood what was going on because the last thing you wanted to have happen was somebody gets injured, two guys get injured, three guys get injured, two guys get injured, and another guy is just completely non-effective. And all of a sudden you are really scrambling for starting pitching. You wanted to avoid that. So if you have a little bit of starting pitching depth, using that at the beginning of the season and see how it all plays out, to me, that makes a lot of sense. And I know from a Cardinal standpoint, I'm sure they're also very cognizant of the amount of money that they are paying Miles Michaelis, and they didn't want to walk away from that right at the beginning of the season. But the money part of it, I don't care about. That doesn't concern me. What does concern me is kind of the baseball side of it. And I think it's very fair, and I think it's very legitimate of the Cardinals to begin the season with Miles Michaelis in the rotation after he had a perfectly fine spring and after he talked very much about him knowing that he needed to change the way he pitches, that he needs to throw less middle strikes. Like, that's essentially what it comes down to. He's done it a little bit. He hasn't done it enough. If you look at his chart of where he is throwing pitches, especially where he's throwing fastballs, there are still a lot of middle. There are still a lot of pitches that are catching a lot of plate. He was fine in his first start. Not great, not bad, just fine. Second start, obviously, was terrible. And now I feel like we are coming up on that leash beginning to shorten on him, where he has to perform at a respectable level, or I think the conversation about what to do with him really comes to the forefront for the Cardinals. We can talk all we want about it, and that's what people in the media do, and that's what fans do. We can talk all we want about it, but I'm more interested in when do the Cardinals start to talk about a possible change. And he's probably still one or two really bad starts away from that happening. But then the next question is, what does that change look like? When Oliver Marmol was on with the guys on Tuesday, they asked him about Michaelis, and Ali kind of turned the question back on Tom Ackerman and said, what would you do? And Tom's answer was switch him and Steven Matz and get Matz in the rotation and put Michaelis in the bullpen. I don't have a problem with the Matz part of that. Matz going into the rotation. I think Matz is set up to have a very respectable season, especially if he can stay healthy. That's obviously the key for him. But I wouldn't understand the idea of putting Michaelis in the bullpen. The only reason to put Michaelis in the bullpen is to think to yourself that maybe you can work on some things with him there that will eventually get him back into the rotation. Because everything about Miles Michaelis says this is a guy who is going to have his best chance for success as a starting pitcher. I don't see his skill set transferring to the bullpen. I don't think he's going to be happy down there. I don't think his skill set transfers to that. I don't think that is a good idea. Now, if the Cardinals are hell-bent on keeping him on the roster and keeping him in the organization, well, and he pitches as poorly as he did his last time out another time or two, then sure, putting him in the bullpen is better than having him take the ball on every fifth day. But once you start doing stuff like that, I have to start to wonder, is it time just to cut bait? Is it time just to wash your hands of that? Now, Michael has something to say about that, right? Let's not count this guy out. He is somebody who he can have a bounce back. He can pitch well here moving forward. And this line of conversation is going to change dramatically. And I've always said, you know, this guy's not that far removed from being an all-star pitcher. He's also 2 years of being statistically one of the worst pitchers in baseball. So both those things are true. He was an all-star not that long ago. He has not been good for two straight years. Which one of those two sides can start to win out? That's a big question over the next couple weeks. And if you think he's kind of the guy that he was in Boston and not a whole lot has changed from the last 2 years to right now, I think that's the point that the Cardinals do start to make some sort of a tough decision. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals, Phillies tomorrow as they open up a three-game weekend series against each other. This is going to be a fun one. The Phillies are a very, very good team, and the Cardinals for tomorrow's game, they are set to send Andre Pallante to the mound, and he's going to be opposed by Aaron Nola. 7:15 first pitch tomorrow. Our coverage is going to begin with Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock. We will take a break, and when we return, we are set to be joined by Travis Feeney of the St. Louis Battlehawks. He's with us in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are awaiting a phone call from Travis Feeney. He is a member of the St. Louis Battlehawks. We'll get him on coming up in just a moment or so for the Battlehawks. They are coming up on a Week 3 matchup. That is going to be taking place this Sunday at the Dome, 2 o'clock kickoff when they match up against the D.C. Defenders. And with that, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is now a Battlehawks veteran. He's been around for a few years now, back with the team again. He is Travis Feeney, joins us right now. Travis, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the feeling? A 2-0 start to the team, especially from a defensive standpoint. You guys have allowed just 6 and 9 points over the first two games. I got to think everybody's feeling pretty good.
Yeah, man, I think we're all feeling good. I mean, it's great to start 2-0. I think the best thing is that our glass is still not full. You know, and you want to maintain that the glass is not full. We're not satisfied, and we're still hungry.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and the Battlehawks had a team record that was broken and then a UFL record being set by giving up just the 15 points over the last two games. When you talk about, you know, not settling and not being happy and wanting more, is that a good example of that, that you guys seemingly are getting better and you're doing more on a week-to-week and a year-to-year basis?
Yeah, I think that's really something to look at, and I think it's something motivational for the guys just to see stuff like that, seeing little accolades, little goals like that, just to keep you going, you know, and it's something just to keep striving for more. You know, it's like, okay, we got this, let's get this right, let's get this, let's do this, let's just keep going off of it. Okay, this is cool, but, like, let's not be content. Let's still maintain hungry. Like, we still got a mountain on our back. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just from how last year occurred. I still think about it. I know the guys still think about it. Like, we still got to climb up this big hill. You know, we're a wolf climbing the hill, still hungry, and got to keep searching for food and got to get more.
Yeah, and obviously you're alluding to the fact that the season last year doesn't end with a championship. As you come back and so many other guys come back, how much is that goal spoken about, that you guys are back to go out and win a championship this year?
Man, it's not even really spoken about. It's just known. You know, it's just a known thing, and we know what we got to do. We're definitely taking one game at a time. You know, every game is the biggest game, but it's definitely in the back of your mind. It's known what the standard is and what we want to achieve.
How about for you personally? You had a big sack this past week. You led the team, certainly, in that category previously. Do you feel like you personally are getting better as a football player?
Yeah, man, I definitely feel like I am. I mean, I definitely have left a couple numbers out there on the field from Houston game, and I mean, I should have had 2 this last game. So, you know, it's I'm getting there, and as long as I'm getting there and it's helping the guys in the back end and my guys in the inside are helping me to get there, you know, and then we're all playing as a fluent defense, like, it just feels good, and it feels good, like you said, I'm a vet, and I still feel great. It doesn't feel like I'm losing a step, so, I mean, that's a really good thing for me right now.
Is that the thing in a game that maybe you most remember? If there's a sack for you to have and you don't finish it, you don't complete it, is that the thing that sometimes runs through your head a little bit over the next few weeks?
Oh, dude, man, as soon as I missed the one in Houston, that's all I was thinking about. I mean, we got the win. Obviously, I'm happy about the win and, like, grateful, but, like, missing that sack right off that. Like, I didn't even talk, like you see right now, I didn't even talk about my San Antonio sack I had. Yeah. I'm still talking about the one I missed. But my celebration was great.
There you go. All right. That's that works. That works for sure. Just from a team standpoint, defensively, you're part of a unit, and you've got a defensive coordinator in Donnie Abraham. You got a defensive line coach in Leroy Glover, who obviously St. Louis folks are very familiar with. Can you talk to me a little bit about those two individuals and what they do and how they help not just you, but the entire defensive group come out and play at a really high level?
Well, I think one thing that's good is we have a lot of similar bodies. We have a lot of the same guys, and having that chemistry of guys that have played with each other for 2 or 3 years now, it just makes everything really easy. And then to have that with the chemistry with Glove and Ice and Clay and everybody at Bayless and everybody on the staff, just knowing that who they got, how we want to play, and we know what they want to do and how they want to play and how they want to fix it. So, you know, if we have an error, we're already right off the bat gloving them. Don't even have to even tell us, like, what error we did. We already know what we did. We already know to go back and fix it. But, and then just the experience with just those two alone and then on top of the other coaches, I mean, what more, how much more experience can you ask for? What other better coaching can you get?
It's well talked about in every interview I've ever done with anybody connected to the Battle Hawks. We've talked about just the attendance and how St. Louis supports this team more than any base supports their teams in their market. How different is it when you go play a road game and bluntly there's not a lot of people in the stands versus what it feels like to play at the Dome and be playing in front of a lot of people?
Man, you know, I always yell to the guys. You know, they ignore me. I think I'm being the older guy, but I'm like, BYOE, man, bring your own energy to these other stadiums because ain't nothing like St. Louis. You know, we got the record-breaking crowds, and, you know, I was talking to my guy, Saul, you know, but, you know, got something going. You know, the fans bring 40. We get 40K. I'll dye my hair blue the whole rest of the year.
Really? Okay.
We got to get that dome filled.
So
any game we get 40, I'll dye my hair blue for the rest of the season.
Okay. I heard you had a little bit of a challenge for the fans to go along with the blue masquerade, which is the theme this Sunday. Is that it? Travis Feeney is saying 40,000 fans in the dome, blue hair for the rest of the year?
Give me 40 and blue hair the rest of the year.
Okay. Have you ever dyed your hair any color before?
I've dyed it for cancer. I do ribbons in my hair for cancer. I've done breast cancer ribbon. I did a prostate ribbon last year, but I never dyed my whole head.
So you don't really know what you're getting into on that one, do you?
No, man. I'm look like thing one and thing two.
Oh, that's a good line for sure. So Battlehawks back at it coming up on Sunday. It's going to be a 2:00 start matching up against the D.C. Defenders. You have any thoughts on that D.C. team?
Hey, man, I don't like them and they don't like us. And I'm not giving teams energy or anything, but we already know what it is. It's a rivalry. Our fans know what it is. I just saw a little Twitter post that some D.C. Defender fan made, so I'm pretty hyped up. You know, they woke up a sleeping bear. Don't poke the bear when it's asleep, you know what I'm saying?
Again, I'm not trying to create bulletin board material, but is that the team, is that of all these teams you play, are they the team that you feel like is your biggest rival?
They're one of them.
Okay.
Everybody is, but yeah, they definitely have a little sweet spot.
All right, good stuff. Well, Travis, we appreciate you taking some time. We're going to watch those attendance numbers every week and hope for 40,000 because we
got to get to 40.
Yep, we want to see the blue hair for sure. Travis, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck this week and the rest of the season. Hopefully we can catch up again down the line.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Travis Feeney joining us again. He says, man, he's such a good dude. He's such a good dude. I love guys like that. He says that 40,000 people in the dome, he is dyeing his hair blue for the rest of the year. And he's got a head of hair. He's got a head of hair. There's a lot of hair right there to dye blue. So there you go. That's as good a reason as a, you know, if he does that, maybe we can figure out a way to have that done on the air or something. I don't know. We first get to 40,000 and then we'll figure that out from there. We've got a lot more coming up. We'll talk Frozen Four hockey in just a moment. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It is a huge sports weekend in St. Louis, and a big part of that is something that is going on at this moment at the Enterprise Center. The Frozen Four is taking place, and to talk a little bit about that, we're going to talk with somebody who's got quite the memory to go along with the Frozen Four. He is a former St. Louis Blue. He is Mike Zook. Mike, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, what kind of memories come back to you because you played in the Frozen Four and had a really big moment and was part of a Michigan Tech national title in St. Louis. So when as this event is back in St. Louis, what kind of memories come up for you?
Well, it brings back a lot of memories. My college career, I played for a pretty good team, Michigan Tech. We actually ended up playing against the Minnesota Gophers 3 years in a row for the national championship. I was back when Herbie Brooks was coaching the Gophers, and in 74, they beat us in Boston. In 75, we beat them here in St. Louis. And in 76, they beat us in Denver. So it brings back some really good years that Michigan Tech had, and I enjoyed while I was in college.
You scored the game-winning goal in that national championship game against Minnesota. Do you still remember that moment and that goal like it was yesterday?
Well, I do remember it partially because it's still on video. I think you can still get the game, watch it on YouTube. So every once in a while, I'll take a look at it. Not that often, but I remember it, and I remember seeing it.
What when that event was being held in St. Louis, what was obviously the Frozen Four is such a big deal now, and there's so much that goes along with it, and we live in kind of a different media landscape. Can you talk me through what it was like and how big of a deal and that sort of thing when that event did take place in St. Louis?
Well, it was a big deal for us, but it really wasn't that big a deal in the hockey world because back then professional hockey and the hockey teams and managers, most of them didn't give college hockey players that much credit. They really didn't understand how good college hockey was until the U.S. team won the Olympics in 80. And then all of a sudden, they found out that, hey, maybe college hockeys are pretty good. I remember my first guy graduated '76, turned pro, and I remember my first training camp. My coach, who was actually Jock Demers, sent me to the minors because he said, "Well, you know, college hockey, you only play 40 games. There's no hitting. There's no checking. You got to go down and learn the professional game for a little while." And they didn't really understand that college hockey players were pretty good. But now, I think 35% of the players in the National Hockey League come out of college hockey. So it was a big event for us, but it really wasn't that big in the hockey world. It was big for the school, big for our fans. I don't think we filled the arena by any means, but I remember a lot of our fans took the bus ride from Houghton, Michigan down to the game, and our band was there. So it was a big event for us in the school.
Has it been fun for you to watch the kind of the evolution of college hockey? We just saw Jimmy Snuggerud finish his career at Minnesota, and he stepped right into the Blues lineup. And a lot of guys still go through the minors, but that's not the most rare thing in the world where guys come out, you know, the elite players out of college hockey are ready for the NHL the moment they sign their contract.
Yeah, no, it's I get a lot of satisfaction from it because I've coached for 30 years in St. Louis kids, and when I first started, I had to convince parents that our kids could possibly get college scholarships, and you know, because there weren't that many kids, if any, that came out of St. Louis at the time and went to college and had hockey scholarships, and then finally we convinced the parents to spend the money and the time. And as I was coaching, I actually had six kids go to college hockey on Division I scholarships from a team a long time ago. Ben Bishop was actually one of them, and Travis Turnbull and four other, Chris Butler was one of them also. So it gives me a lot of satisfaction. For me, I think college hockey is great. It gives kids a chance to get an education as well as play at a high level of hockey that doesn't hurt them in their careers.
We're also seeing it from a coaching standpoint where college coaches will jump right in. Jim Montgomery was the coach at Denver not that long ago, and he's obviously done quite well in the NHL. He's not the only guy who's come from the college ranks, so it just feels like all in all, there's a lot of respect towards the college game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Jim's one of the best coaches. He had success. He coached Denver. He had success there. I believe he won a national championship. He coached in junior hockey in the USHL. Had a lot of success in Dallas and the success in Boston. And obviously, he's doing great here, so it's nice to see Jim do so well.
Your connection to like the St. Louis hockey community is incredible because you have this amazing story of playing in college hockey and winning a national title in St. Louis. You play for the Blues. You've continued to be part of that that community since then. How proud are you that once again this event, and I know it was here in 2007, but once again the Frozen Four is back in this great hockey community of St. Louis?
No, very proud, and I'm very proud of the way our city supports not only things like this, but other sporting events, golf, and you bring anything in town, gymnastics or whatever, and the St. Louis fans support it tremendously.
It's going to be pretty cool for you coming up on Saturday as you're going to be recognized as part of the 50th anniversary of the Michigan Tech national title. I got to think that's very gratifying for you to be honored in that way and for people to continue to remember this event that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's very, very nice of everybody to recognize it. I've done a couple of articles and I've got to go on a radio show tomorrow. So it's nice. It's nice that college hockey gets the recognition that it does.
Do you? I assume you still follow along with the Blues and everything. They went on that great run and then they've lost a couple in a row. Jim Montgomery's obviously doing a great job. What have you thought about what they have been able to do here recently as they are putting themselves in great position for the playoffs?
No, I've been a big fan since I came back and retired here, and it was great to win the cup. I mean, they allowed the alumni to be part of it, get into the parade and a couple of parties, and it was super. And it's really fun to watch them have the success they're having. I told people when they won the cup that I was most happy for the fans. They've been so supportive of the team over the years. Obviously, the Cardinals are a big part of the city, but our Blues fans are every bit as excited about our Blues, and I'm happy to see them. We got to get a couple of points to get in the playoffs, but who knows what happens once you get in there.
Yeah, absolutely. National title game coming up on Saturday. The Frozen Four semifinal games going on today. The late game is going to be Penn State against Boston University. Mike, thank you for taking some time with us and reflecting on such a great moment. I'm so happy that you're going to be part of a group that's recognized coming up on Saturday. Make sure to enjoy that, and hopefully we can catch up again down the line.
Yeah, my pleasure, and thank you very much.
That is Mike Zook joining us here on the program. Played with the Blues from 78 to 83, college career at Michigan Tech. Game-winning goal in a national title game in St. Louis. How cool is that? And now the Frozen Four back in St. Louis going on as we speak. Third time that this event has been held in St. Louis, 75-2007, and now going on right now. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back, and we are going to wrap up this edition of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Wrapping things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. No Sports Open Line really tomorrow. We might have just a couple minutes or so leading into Cardinals baseball. Really not much of anything as Cardinals coverage tomorrow is scheduled to begin at 6:20, I believe it is. 6:20, yeah, for a 7:15 first pitch. I had to do math in my head, and anybody who knows me doing math in my head is not an especially good thing. I've been thinking about this a lot, and we've talked about it a bit, just in the sense that, like, Kevin Wheeler and I talked about it, and we mentioned earlier, the pitching matchups in this series coming up against Philadelphia, it's advantage Philadelphia every single day, just based off starting pitching matchups. Nola against Pallante, Sanchez against Michaelis, and Wheeler against Liberatore. That doesn't mean the Phillies are going to win all three games, but I do think that if I'm going to sit here and talk all off season long about how important it is that the Cardinals get off to a good start, well, I think you look at what's coming up here. I mean, their schedule, it's really challenging here moving forward. Really, really challenging. You have Philadelphia for three. You have Houston for three. That's the upcoming homestand. You're then going to go on the road for a four-gamer against the Mets. The Mets have been playing about as good a baseball as anybody out there. You have three games against Atlanta. I know Atlanta has had a really slow start, but they're playing a little bit better, and they're still, they're the third or fourth best team in the National League. I think you look at the Dodgers and the Phillies as being the class of the National League, and then who do you put in after that as the third? Is it the Mets? Is it the Braves? Is it the Padres? Is it, you know, the Giants are off to a nice start? Like, they're in that conversation. And then you're back home for a three-game series against Milwaukee, and as tough of a start as Milwaukee had to their season with that not-so-great performance against the Yankees, even with them losing to the Rockies today, they completely turned their everything around, where up until today, they had won seven of their last eight. So the Cardinals' ability to kind of have that solid start to the season so they don't put themselves in some sort of a hole, that's going to be tested over the next couple weeks with who they're playing. I continue to believe in this team as a team that can compete, a team that can be contending for a playoff spot for sure. I still don't think there's a whole lot of difference between any of the top four teams in the National League. The Pirates are the only team that I don't think is as good as the others, and the Pirates just took two of three from the Cardinals, although I think we can all say that Cardinals absolutely should have won that series and should have won that game yesterday, but they didn't. They didn't. So that's where they're at. I think you got to find some wins in this. You got to find some wins in there. You got to find a win or two against Philadelphia. You got to find a win or two against Houston. You got to find a couple wins when you play that four-game series in New York against the Mets. Find a win against Atlanta. Have some success against Milwaukee. You got to do that. Because all of a sudden, if you're losing two out of three consistently and maybe getting swept in some of those series, you're in a tough spot. And a 5-7 record now, their record is fine. Like, we don't need to be worried about their record and the implications of the record for moving forward. Like, if you are stressed out about the fact that the Cardinals are two games under 500, 12 games in, let me tell you, like, I don't know what your life is like. I know in my life, I need to reduce stress from my life. Let me reduce some stress from your life. One thing about the Cardinals that you don't have to worry about is their record through 12 games. Their 5-7 record, it doesn't really matter at this point in time. But the bigger picture here is that you don't want to find yourself in fourth place and fifth place in the division, all of a sudden having a 5-game, a 6-game, a 7-game deficit in the first months of the season, where you're going to be spending some time trying to knock that down. Because I don't look at this Cardinals team as a team that's going to start just rattling off win after win after win. If this is a team that's going to stay in contention, if this is a team that's going to steal a playoff spot, if this is a team that is somehow going to win the division, they're going to have to do it in really grindy fashion. They're going to have to grind out every single game that they win. And I think they've done a good job. And they're just like using that word grind. That's been one of the things about their at-bats. Yesterday notwithstanding, where they only score the one run in 13 innings. For the most part, you know, the word that Oliver Marmol likes to use, and I think the word is correct, is relentless. This has been a team that from an approach standpoint at the plate, they absolutely have been relentless, and they're going to have to do that. And the pitching is going to have to look significantly better than it has for the last week or so. We've seen the best that this team can be in that series against Minnesota open up the year. And we've also seen probably the worst that this team can be with what happened in the series against Boston, where you lose a game you should have won and you allow double-digit runs in the other two games. And even the way they lost to Pittsburgh in the finale. Like, that's not who you want this team to be. They've got to work to show that they are not that team. And if they can be more like the team that was good against Minnesota early on, it's going to be okay. But that's going to be tested. That is absolutely going to be tested here over the next few days, as they've got a really, really tough schedule in front of them. It's not going to really let up until late April into May, mid-May even, when you start to see some teams on the schedule that you can breathe a little bit. But Cardinals also can't take anybody lightly on any given basis. They're going to have to be ready to go on an everyday basis. That is it for the program today. On the way next, it is a replay of the Gas House Gang from today. Jason Mott former Cardinals closer. He is the featured conversation today, so you'll certainly enjoy hearing that, as Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas will be with you for that. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I've got the first half hour of the Gas Asking tomorrow afternoon from 12 to 12:30. I'll join Chris Ranji and Mike Claiborne for that, and then I'll be back with you for a Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the program. Have a wonderful night, and we'll talk again tomorrow. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line, a Strike Zone Hour right here on KMOX.